All right, we're back with part two of our discussion on election security with Davis. This is the Breach of the Week version of Pwned. If you're just jumping in, I'm Zach. We're going to be talking more about the solutions and strategies and some high-level concepts regarding election security in this one, and we'll go ahead and jump right into it. I guess maybe what we could talk about now is, you know, like, what thoughts do you have? Like, what would be, like, some simple steps that could potentially have, like, a fairly significant security effect, you know, that people should be thinking about? I mean, certainly they could look to companies like New Harbor. I know we've been hired by secretaries of state, by counties and stuff to help protect their election systems. You know, but what are some, maybe just some of the basic practices that you think would have a good effect without having to maybe invest a whole lot of money to start with?
So, yeah.
That's a loaded question. I know.
I think if you're running critical infrastructure, you know, and you have that idea of CIA, right? And you want to provide whatever that service is, and you want to be able to make sure you're hitting those things. You end up just following the same, you know, very, very simple concepts of auditing and understanding the system and documentation. That's those end up being, you know, pretty key. You know, who has access? Why do they have access? What does their access give them? You know, what are their permissions? What could they do? What is normal? What is not normal? That baseline. And, you know, and I think in some regards, you know, I mean, it depends on the medium that you're using, you know, and I like the word medium because, you know, it's something that I remember from, sure, you know, grade school art class. You know, they'd be like, you know, what medium are we going to use today? You can use oil paint, you can use clay, but you have that medium, and that medium is the data that you're looking at. And that medium is very important because, much like clay, you know, or oil paint, you can manipulate it, you can change the color, you can form it. And so when you have that ability and you have that autonomy over the data that you're looking at, you can easily see when something is not functioning properly. And we all like to have these ideas about what the general public might have some ideas of what a cyber attack looks like and what that entails. And I think that when you look at, you know, some of the, you know, the volume of noise on the internet, you know, whether that's scanners looking for, you know, the latest Citrix vulnerability, you know, or Pulse Secure, you really understand, you know, maybe volume of someone just kind of looking for the low hanging fruit and someone who's looking to really get in to an organization. And you can baseline all that low hanging fruit and say, yeah, this thing, you know, stuck out because it's, you know, created millions of events, and that's never happened before, and it's something we should look at. And I think when you want to audit those systems, and yeah, there's some sort of anomaly like that, but no one finds out about it because there was no disruption to a system, because it didn't, you know, when you think of like CIA, you think of the availability, you're like, DDoS attack, someone DDoSed the you know, did some sort of denial of service on a website on the information, you know, on where the voting polls are, and now people don't know where the voting polls are because they can't access the website. So you think about it like that, and that's like, that's, you know, they're like, oh, that's a cyber attack, but it could be something, you know, completely different and completely out of the norm, completely unexpected. And
yeah, someone downloads it to a thumb drive and then loses the thumb drive.
Yeah, I think you want to be able to, you know, you want to have the data that you can use to support looking at those anomalies, and, you know, have people that from a technical perspective are able to understand that data to provide feedback, and then ultimately to triage it to say, yeah, but we've never seen that happen before, you know, and we don't know why it happened, but we're looking into it because it's out of the norm.
But at least you know. So, like, that's like basic knowledge. Like, what you're saying is essentially probably most folks who are dealing with this have the information available. They just may not have the sort of prowess to understand it per se, right? Like, cause again, everyone essentially connects through a router or a switch or something. Those things are logged. There's probably some firewall or some system in place that is, you know, providing some degree of protection. Those things have logs. But like to the average user, you know, they probably wouldn't think to look, but that's something very simple that they could do and would notice probably if you were looking at least trends, some sort of trend analysis that all of a sudden, yeah, holy crap. In the last week, you know, we went from this much traffic to this much traffic. And that's really weird. Even like websites and stuff. Like, I mean, again, you keep bringing up this really valid point that it doesn't have to be at the voting machine. I think that's the one that we all think of just because at some point we're going to be standing in front of a voting booth or a voting machine and casting our vote. That's the scariest.
It's the physical.
Yeah, exactly. It's the tangible
physical
one.
Component.
But even like if the Secretary of State website went down and there's a ransomware page there or some other like, you know, link, or even it could just be a picture of like, you know, guess what? You're not voting this year. Something very simple. That's still enough to potentially sway an election because people may be scared off or they might go, I can't vote. You know, if their website isn't secure, how's their endpoint secure, et cetera. So basic cybersecurity, what would you call that? Like, just the auditing, that's the checking.
It's having the data and you're able to shape it because you're comfortable with it. Right. And you're able to understand what those things mean from a technical perspective. So as much as, you know, you can mix, you know, red and blue together and get purple with those oil paints, you need to know.
Who knew you were such an artist?
I know. You need to be able to mix those two colors together or those two points of data.
Right.
So that when you get purple and that purple shows up in that stream of data, in that log stream, it raises a red flag. You know, and I think in some, you know, some aspects where you maybe have a user connecting to a VPN, but you don't have any local host logs, right? So you don't know what's happened on that endpoint. Maybe there's something coming across the VPN that would be suspicious, right? So in many cases, you know, you'll have like a split tunnel or, you know, something set up, but not every piece of data is flowing through a VPN, you know, to like a client site from the remote site. So maybe you only have DNS requests going through, something like InfoBlocks, you know, some technology like that, but you don't have, you can't actually see the URLs that a user is navigating to through Chrome.
Yeah.
Or you can't, you know, so you have like a, you know, kind of split in the data, but then all of a sudden you see a big spike in those DNS requests to a bunch of very bizarre looking, you know, domains.
Yeah.
That could be one of those signs, but it's understanding that the way your technology is set up that, you know, yeah, we don't have visibility over here. We do have visibility over here. So you're able to really kind of then take the data and you know what you'll have and you know what you won't, and you'll know where to look. You know, you know which rocks to turn over, and that's just key. And that's key to understanding, you know, that environment. And that's key to understanding, you know, the general, you know, security of systems in general
which is probably not something that most of these places have, which sort of is now leading me to think that, like, I mean, maybe the most basic first step is you have to have someone who understands this, look at the system, someone that you can trust and can actually make sense of it. At least at one point, like you said, having the baseline, you know, if you can't afford to have someone on it 24/7, 365, you know, we are now, I believe, about 60 days out, something like that from the election, a little over that. And so there's not a whole lot of time left, but like, if you know what it looks like right now and you get to check it one more time before the election, you'll certainly know that something is up. But it doesn't sound to me, I mean, all right, so we'll wrap this up just because we're almost at 40 minutes, which is really good. This is interesting stuff. I think a lot of people are going to be really, we'll probably have to do some more of this just because it is really interesting to me. But, you know, at the lowest level, you know, practice good cybersecurity techniques, lock your stuff. Like, I mean, literally physical, digital, like, secure yourself. Don't be stupid. You know, close the laptop lid, lock the door behind you so that your laptop isn't hanging out Don't leave data on drives left unsecured, simple things like that. Know who your vendors are. Probably have them. I mean, you know, ask them for the, you know, like, how secure are you? Like, what is your, do you have, you know, SOC reports? Do you have all this other, like, whatever? Like, what do you have that you can show me that you're not a, you know, fly by night company that doesn't care about cybersecurity? Like you're alluding to, probably have someone look at your data and your hardware and your infrastructure, make sure that it's all functioning and that you're going to be able to actually, you know, be notified. I forget, you know, it might've been the conversation with you or with some of our RedSec folks, but like, you know, people go out and buy this hardware that's designed to protect. And they're like, oh yeah, we never actually connected the account to it. So it's sure. Updating the software and, you know, getting new things to look for, like make sure that's happening. And then at the end of the day, like, understand, you know, we don't put all your focus on like these tangible objects, like look at it holistically. Like you're saying, that systems thinking approach, which I'm a huge fan of systems thinking. I love it. And understand the human aspect of it. Cause that, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I don't know how many times it's gotta be like 90% of major security, cybersecurity issues. It comes down to a human factor of someone intentionally or by accident releasing the information. And that is something I don't think we think of when we're thinking of cybers or election security, is that like it's not necessarily the machine, like you're saying. There's probably a human involvement that is going to create the issue at some point.
Yeah. And there's vulnerable machines because they don't get patched, they don't get updated. Those vulnerabilities exist because people go looking for them and they find them. I've heard both sides of the argument, right? From people that have been in the industry, you know, for years to the people that are, you know, brand new, is that, well, if you didn't have hackers, you wouldn't have all these vulnerabilities and, you know, it's such a pain. Right. And you know, or something along those lines. And it's like, yeah, okay. You know, sure. You know, if we lived in that, you know, harmonious, you know, world, where everyone was,
friendly and
had altruistic intentions. You know, but I think to really kind of like summarize, you know, my thoughts on election, you know, security and the idea of election hacking, which is its own buzzword now. You know, I mean, hacking was kind of like, oh, it's hacking, you know, cybersecurity, dark web, you know. But now we got election hacking. It's its own thing. It might have started coming around the, you know, the election, you know, maybe in 2015, but there was a, you know, and it existed before that too. You know, as social media started taking off and you had people, you know, creating dark web marketplaces or creating, ISIS had their whole marketing campaign was on the internet. Right. So, you know, you have those ideas where you have, kind of these actors, you know, maybe depending on perspective there, you consider them villains. I feel like there was a real demarcation point of saying, a Twitter account is a cyber weapon versus, some IP address, you know, doing some sort of vulnerability scanning. And I think it's a very interesting, you know, take on it where social media is a cybersecurity problem. And classically, and I don't know when cybersecurity as a whole will stop being a quote unquote new industry. but you know, as a whole, it's considered, you know, a fairly new industry, but I don't know when, you know, or how those things are going to fit into the mesh, you know, moving forward, because that is, you know, projection for the future is that, you know, social media accounts, you know, are going to be playing a bigger and bigger role, you know, that human factor with those digital artifacts, you know, from finding, you know, people online, you know, to, you know, for like law enforcement investigations, you know, we can make that kind of connection there. You know, there's been major hacking groups that have been broken up, you know, because of, you know, account names. And but it is a interesting perspective. There was one conversation I had at a conference where a speaker, I talked to him after he gave a nice talk, where he was talking about all the troll accounts that he had captured this week. And I was kind of thinking, you know, to myself, like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting, because you know, it used to be maybe people going out there and, you know, trying to find a bunch of malware websites and downloading the malware and doing that. And this guy's taking account names, you know, as his bounty kind of thing. And I thought that was very,
interesting.
It did show me that there was a different perspective on that, and that it was a growing perspective. So yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that'll play in more in the industry as a whole, but it's certainly hot topic in the news media.
All right. Well, I think we'll stop there. there's just so much to consider with all of this. You know, I appreciate your perspective on this, Davis, and I hope that you know, folks who are listening, you know, if you're not involved in election security, that's not true. Literally everyone in the United States is involved in election security. 100%. You have some degree of responsibility in it, whether you realize you do or not. You're going to vote. Hopefully everyone should be voting. That's the least we can do to sustain a democracy. You know, a daily basis, don't share garbage on Facebook. Actually, you probably just delete Facebook. That would probably be a good place to start for election security. But be good consumers of information, be good consumers of, you know, cybersecurity practices. Because that's what's ultimately going to help protect this. And reach out to your secretaries of state, find out what they're doing to secure the election, because it is really important. If you're a secretary of state or some sort of election committee or something that is responsible for this, contact New Harbor Security. Like, we want to help you. There's other, you know, contact your cybersecurity vendor of choice. Obviously, we'd prefer if it's New Harbor. We have experience in this. We are working with offensive security to test systems. We are securing systems. But we want to get this stuff, you know, secured, and there's not a whole lot of time left. And certainly this election, more than others, it appears that, you know, this is a concern at the forefront of a lot of people's thoughts. So
thank you, Davis, for your insights into this. I learned a lot. I hope everybody else did. Remember, you can like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about the Pwn podcast. Visit us at newharborsecurity.com, www.newharborsecurity.com. And we'll talk to you guys later.